County Commission meeting. We've been in preliminary study. Our first agenda item is BRO funds. The questions was brought up by Mr. Houseman of soft match and hard match funds and what was available. So we have MoDOT here with Beth. She has some information for us, and I'll just turn the meeting over to you, and you can explain the hard match funds and the soft match funds and what's available. And we have had a request from at least three other counties, I know, to buy the soft match funds, and I know other counties do that all the time, but we need to find out a little more information on just an update on that.
Okay. Well, I brought some information with me on the BRO program itself, and I also brought information on, I didn't know if you guys had the report that showed the condition of your bridges, and I also brought some information on, we kind of have an estimating process that they do for how much it would cost to repair what's been shown as deficient on the reports that you guys get every other year. So I've got that information with me also. And I should have your balance here. Let me find that real quick. There we go. We'll start with that. We have a balance sheet that basically shows how many federal funds that you have available to use on your BRO bridges, and also how much soft match funding you have available to use on your bridges.
Can you explain that over the difference in soft match and hard match funding?
Okay, well, first of all, the balance that you have available to you is funding that comes through the federal government.
Okay.
And that's a yearly allocation. I think it usually happens in October. It's based on their fiscal year. And that amount is based on basically the total number of bridges that the counties have. I think it's a calculation of based on the square footage of actual bridge deck, and
okay,
they determine how that share of the pot of money will go to each county based on the condition of your bridge decks. And then to me, hard match is actually the money that the county would have to come up with to match the funding that comes from the federal government. So right now, your total is actually a negative balance because you chose to spend ahead on a previous project, and that's one of the things that's available to all counties is they can spend ahead up to 3 years worth of funding that comes from the federal government. And so I don't have information on what bridge that was, but your balance right now is $104,421.80 in the negative right now.
In the negative.
But you receive $122,434 each year.
Okay.
Through the BRO program. So as of next year, you should be in the positive when that funding comes available, which we always assume it will be, but we're always dependent on the federal government to do their appropriation bill to approve the actual distribution of the funds. So
okay, let me ask you something now. The way that I'm understanding you, on the hard match money, after we reach a positive figure, then we can borrow up to 3 years in advance hard match money and to do any bridge that we would like in Taney County.
Okay, that's where I think my terminology and yours is maybe different a little bit, because to me, hard match would be your share of the money.
Okay.
And normally, the feds will pay up to 80% of the cost of either a rehabilitation or a replacement.
Okay.
So to me, the hard match would be your 20%.
Okay. All right.
Because soft match is a balance of what you have gotten credit for when the county has actually built bridges on their own with totally county funds.
County funds.
And
right,
then they've applied through MoDOT to the Federal Highway Department for credit towards having produced those bridges and repaired those bridges with county funds.
Okay.
And what the feds will do is they will give you up to 80% of the value of whatever the value was of those bridges that you constructed. So you guys have gone through a process where you've built the bridge, you've had engineering drawings approved, and final inspection done, and then a final cost estimate sent in to us, and we've approved that cost estimate and then sent it on to the federal government, and it's been approved. And that's how you would have gotten your soft match balance, which right now is $566,000 for $566,471. And I can give you a copy of this, but so you've got a pretty good balance of soft match, and that's again money that was credited to you because of the fact that you guys have gone ahead and spent county money to build bridges on your own. Now there is a couple options available. You can use your soft match money and match it up with the federal VRO funding at an 80-20. Mm-hmm. Again, 80% them, 20% you. Or you can choose to try to increase the federal funding, the BRO funding, by trading your soft match dollars to another county for their BRO federal funds. And the going rate has typically been 2-1. In other words, if you wanted to get $200,000 worth of credit from another county, you would have to give them $400,000 worth of soft match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty well the going rate right now.
All right. That was, like I said, that was the main interest that Mr. Houseman had to try to find out exactly where the soft match and hard match monies could be available for bridge projects. You were talking about that. I think we went through a maintenance program of scouring the bridges and all those kind of things in the last couple of years. I think it's been 2 years ago that we went and did all that. So the anything else that you have on that? I knew the about the 2-1, or we've had other counties approach us for that those funds, but we were wanting to make a good solid decision on whether to take the monies or use them on our own bridges. And we've got a bridge or two in the county that needs to be constructed, actually in rural areas that are rather expensive. So we was hoping that maybe we might be able to get some money that would be available through the federal government on that. So,
okay. Well, as I said before, your yearly allotment is about $122,400, and I don't expect that to change. You know, unless something drastic happens in the Congress, but I would assume that that's probably going to stay about the same. It depends on how critical. That would be a decision that the county would have to make as to how critical your repairs are that you need to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking at a full replacement and you feel like it's something that you need to go out for bids on, you know, it's maybe a major project that you don't want to attempt with county forces and you're wanting to do it fairly rapidly, then you probably would want to start looking at trading your soft match so that you can get your BRO, your federal funds balance up. Because you can only use 20% match with your soft match. You can only use 20%. The feds will do the other 80, and they'll basically finance your 20% soft match, but they won't let you go above 20%.
Okay.
So you've got a good balance there at $566,000, but you can only use 20% of that on any one project.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, Brandon?
It's a little confusing.
Well, we appreciate you coming down, and Mr. Houseman couldn't be here this morning, and he was really interested in talking about this issue, because when we go to our county commission meetings, and we just got through coming from one, we have one the 12th with our local Southwest Missouri commissioners. They approach us all the time, mainly Ozark and Douglas County. And so thank you a lot for your coming to us. Do you have anything else for us that you want to visit with us about?
I don't have anything at this point. I know we're getting ready to fire up the construction season, and you may have seen we've actually started work on a really small little drainage project right there by the Branson Hills, the exit there, the Branson Hills shopping area, mm-hmm. Bee Creek. Mm-hmm. We're replacing two or three drainage inlets, and if the weather holds today and they're able to work, they thought they would be out of there by this week.
Okay.
I haven't heard any projections on when the construction will start on 160, the overlay with the turn lanes. That, you know, we're going to change the direction of access there at Route F and 160,
right.
And improve the intersection there at H and then 176 and then Casey Road. I haven't heard the contractor schedule on that yet, but I'll keep you guys updated on that.
All right.
I don't know of anything else that we've really got coming up. I think that's about it. We're just hoping we don't get any more snow.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
And I will leave this packet of information with you, and that way if you guys do have any questions and, you know, I need to call you or whatever, then you'll have it in front of you.
Right, and we'll give Randy the information there, and he can enter it in the road and bridge computers and things over there. So.
Okay. Do you want me to leave this with you then or with Randy?
Probably leave.
I think that's the same information that we got. Go ahead and leave it right here with us.
Okay,
right.
So let me leave it with you. It's basically a printout from our electronic guidance that's on our website. So yeah. That way you'll have it just in case you can't find it.
That's what they gave us.
Yeah.
Judge and see.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming down and educating us on the BRO funds.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Next is the agenda request review. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
Number one, you can. I think we can go ahead and put that on for next Monday, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, she will not be back until the 15th.
I guess we won't do it until that next Thursday after the 15th. We'll be gone. We'll be gone the 15th, 16th, won't we? Put on the 18th.
Number two, I think it's just something that needs to be probably visited with a commissioner. I don't think that I don't know the need to agendize that item. It's just someone wanting to know about some property. Is it not? I understand Mr. Houseman has requested that be put on the agenda, so you want to put it on there for next Monday, Brandon, or you want to just wait till...
Monday's fine with me.
That's fine with me. I didn't, from what it says on here, well, I just thought it might be something that a commissioner could answer the question on. What about number three, Brandon? You have 30 minutes on that.
I was say
I don't see that it'll take 30 minutes to answer a man's question about a piece of property. So we might move that time frame. Just put that on the agenda for. Listed under certain other items and then have him come in. Okay. The number three, we'll put it on for Monday. What time you want to put it on for, Brandon? Just have it fall in with the, because John's just down the street, just have him put it in on the list for 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah. What's our Monday look like, do you know?
Yeah, hang on. Several things. You have University of Missouri is coming in, monthly budget report, accounts payable, court orders, payroll, Dixieland Heights road vacate.
Is the Dixieland Heights, is that scheduled for a specific time?
It's 10 o'clock. 10. You better put some of these other things, vacate may take a while.
I have it as the last thing so far, the road vacate.
As the last thing now?
As of right now, yeah.
Well, number three shouldn't take very long, should it?
No, I think.
I can just squeeze it in between some of the other nine yeah. stuff.
Okay. Now, some of that other stuff is presented. What did you say? There was a monthly. Bennett, when the Extension Council comes in, she has a presentation, and it's probably going to be 10 or 15 minutes long.
I have 15 minutes on that. It's the University of Missouri Extension monthly budget report. That is.
That doesn't take long. Rick sends that to us by the email and then makes a report on it, so that's not a very long okay. issue either.
The court orders, accounts payable. I only have 15 minutes on court orders.
Yeah, it won't. I think that'll be fine,
yeah,
don't you? Yeah. Anything else that you know of that we need to add? If there's anything that turns up later today, then we'll contact you on it. Okay.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is board appointments, but those were, I think, the main one that we had on that was the health department, and they had turned in one name for two appointments. I think Mr. Houseman had a couple of names that he was wanting to look at and consider and review. So I'm not going to recommend that we make any appointments on that board until he's here, Brandon, if that'd be all right with you.
No, that's fine. And the press and media that's listening in here, you guys might put out that we have openings in the health department. And let anybody know that's interested in serving on those boards, they can contact us. And
the next on the agenda is the collector's year-end settlement. If Sheila hears us, I would like for her to come in. Until she does, in the same time frame, we have the transfer station. They brought up some information, Scott did this morning, on him and Randy wanted a 15-minute meeting with us about the transfer station.
Okay.
But with Ron not here, and after I visited with Scott, he said that there was two or three numbers that he didn't have that he would appreciate it if we could put that off. So I think that we'll just transfer that to maybe Monday's agenda after. There's Sheila.
Do you have have any special spot? No.
Do you, you can either have the podium or you're set right there. That's fine.
Doesn't matter to me. Okay. Did you guys bring the delinquent books down?
No, we're not finished with looking at them.
Okay. You had the totals? So if you, did you want to discuss them anyway? Or, okay.
No, they're just...
Okay. We'll go over those then. And
okay. I know that last year you made those available to us, and mm-hmm. we kept them for a couple of 3 weeks or so before reviewed all that, and it was quite thick, so we haven't had a chance to. Have you, Brandon?
Well, it's a kind of a sort of a formality that they've had, you know, in the statute years ago. Of course, now the way, I mean, you know, like the statute says, you go over and you see any double assessed or corrections or anything, and common sense tells us that, you know, that's not your job to really to have that knowledge. It's, you know, the assessor and collector and the customer. Mm-hmm. And if in those delinquent books, in which there's probably been abatements, you know, done on those since that have came before you, since they were presented to you, as there anything, if anything's discovered where one has already paid and they've been assessed, then if it's a collector discovers it, they take it to the assessor, and the assessor writes the abatement, it goes before you, the commission, and it's corrected then. And if a customer feels that something is wrong or something, you know, they speak with the assessor, and the assessor checks it out and makes a correction. The only thing I'd add on those delinquent books is, and I didn't get a chance to pull those, but our tax sales are increasing greatly each year as the economy goes. It's going back. Like, so what makes them increase is you have no sales and 1 year, and then they add to it in the next year, so you add new sales and those no sales. So this year, and in those statutes on the books, it allows the county commission to, if they see any that are assessed more than what they would bring at the sale at that time, you could adjust those assessments to make them more sellable. But what happens is we have third and fourth year sales now. We have fourth year sales. I've never had that happen before, where those can be sold for any amount, $1, $2, and they no-sailed. They didn't. It may be sometime that you want to, I don't know if you want to wait till after the sale this year and see what goes through, if that's something you want to look at. Okay. The year-end settlement. Let me see here.
We'll start at the top as
the year end. How about I just leave?
You want,
or I don't know if he wants to mess with the paper or not.
We'll take it up there and put it in his.
I'll just mention the first page, and then I'll be quiet and let you guys ask me any questions or tell me if you want me to go over and explain where the totals come from. The front page, as you see, is a summary page that shows how much we were charged with and how we answered it by collection of taxes, or else abatements were done, or the delinquents are reflected in the books that you have upstairs. Then the entities on the front page is how much we paid each one of those entities from March 1st of 2012 to February 28th of 2013. The total collection of taxes, the $57,026,045.36, must match the total distribution there for the entities that answer what we paid them, the $57,026,045.36. The assessment total you see above there is the amount that we collected for the assessment, and that was paid into the assessor's fund. Commissions, that I turn that over to the treasurer each month, and that's the various fees, and it'll be answered over on the third page that we collect, and that's turned into general county revenue. Then the tax maintenance fund is, you're familiar with, is the amount that was collected for the year that goes into that. I separate the TIFs and SIDs because I just think it's good for you to see it separate. Actually, the state develops this the way they want the format, and I just change that so that since we have those, I just think it's good to see that instead of having it all added in just with real estate to see how much is separate. Oh, the protested taxes. You'll see on the second page how much is real estate and personal and so forth. The final page under other is all of those various fees that we collect that we're not charged with on the beginning tax book, and that's where the money comes from over on the front page. Now, I will hush if anyone has any questions or.
As I understand this, and as we went through this over the past years, you make your presentation this morning. We will review and then have you come back in and make a motion of acceptance of upon your recommendation of the way this is certified by Donna Neely and yourself.
Actually, on this, the way it is I make the presentation. It's to have it entered into record. And then Donna was given a copy of this about 10 days or so ago after we completed, whenever I sent the email, you know, tell them. And I make the presentation. It is entered into record, and then she's to then certify and file it with the Department of Revenue and the State Tax Commission.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of entering it into the record, but it is there's some responsibility for the county commission to review, and it's like you said, it's rather large amount of work that you have presented to us, and so we haven't had time to even review any of it, really. Just to be truthful, we just looked through some of it and. Oh. As we can, but
okay. This is separate than the delinquent books. This is totally yeah. This is to be that the county clerk is to give. I gave it to her to go over and to see if she's who charges me with it and has the books in the beginning, and she's who does, you know, the abatements and stuff,
right,
to match. And the delinquent books that you have, that's a separate statute under it altogether.
All right.
For you to review and so forth.
So. This is just a presentation to the commission.
Yes, sir, to know, show you that we've done something and to answer for every penny that we're charged with and where it goes for. And, yes, we spent weeks looking for $203.46.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sheila, and we will put that in Mr. Houseman's mailbox up there, and
okay, you will notice the 2009 personal property is unsecured, and it's just allowed 3 years that we can go over. And I didn't know it was in the. It's a separate book that you have. It's just a small one that you have up there. And you'll notice on the year-end settlement, your 2009 sheet total that you had upstairs. You'll see we're on the personal property. Where that is taken off. On the prior personal, you'll notice that it where it has that, it's done like an abatement. We have the ones that we could proceed with on 2009 collection is the personal property has a way through the Department of Revenue checkpoint for collecting. They have to have a paid tax receipt in order to get their license on businesses, we send out for those that are delinquent or went out of business. We don't have a, it's an unsecured debt. We don't have as good of a means of collecting because it goes, it's personal. It doesn't go against business or anything. And, but those that we had proceeded with before the 3-year time was up, the way that I understand, we are still allowed to receive those. And we have from our letters that we send talking about legal action and so forth on it, we have three that since this was printed out that we got back, and we've collected that amount, and we will charge ourselves back with it, and it'll next year's settlement. It will show. So the 2009 total that you have up there, we have just about $800 that'll be that is paid on that. That is the delinquent book you have, and any discussion you ever have wanted, I'm always available. Your next sheet you'll see there is, I believe, if I put it in the order, is a surplus. Is outstanding checks that no one has claimed, and we've written them, sent them out letters two different times, and more on some on the top one. I've talked to the people and everything trying to. We had good response this year when we sent out the, but these are ones that were issued from January 2011 through January 2012, and they're. I have a check here that I'll give to the county treasurer, and it will go into the unclaimed funds, which she will send on to the state treasurer's unclaimed funds. Now, if you look at that next piece of paper, this I've never had happen before, but you'll have it in front of you. And I called it unidentified funds. Do you see what I'm speaking of? This?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We received that front page that you have there in the mail, that envelope, and you see how it's addressed. There's no return address. And the note on the front of it was a note that I made at the time after one clerk and myself counted the funds that were in that envelope. It was cash in that envelope. Not being able to identify who we could post the payment to of taxes, I called the county counselor at that time as a witness to verify the payment, and you will also notice his signature and date on that note. We ran reports of all delinquent taxes that might be mailed with any postmark around that area that was on that envelope. We tried to match up anything that would come near that total. As you see, it was an even amount, and we could not find anything. So we waited until we sent, back up here. After the county counselor was no longer employed by the county, I called our presiding commissioner, Mr. Hausman, to make him aware of the situation and showed him that envelope and asked if he had any suggestions. I spoke with the county sheriff to see if he had a way to find the owner. And you will also notice where I've handed you there copies of two ads that I ran in local newspapers and a letter showing what I stated. I checked with the postmaster to see if they could identify the handwriting on the envelope, the Ava postmaster. I contacted an insurance representative that lived and worked in that area his entire life and I thought knew about, you know, everyone. And he was certain that he could find out, and he took his, went about it, and he was unable to find the person who mailed the envelope. After a few weeks, we ran reports. I waited to go through all the delinquent cycles to where everything would be mailed out if anybody would come in, and it didn't happen. So the funds that were in that envelope have been deposited in the collector's account, and I have written a check, which I have here, to give to the county treasurer for the commission to direct her if they would desire the funds to be put into the county general revenue or turned over to the state treasurer's unclaimed funds. And the reason I held it for the time and is hoping that we could find the owner. If it does go into county GCR, if ever, and I can't imagine, you know, after this time and everything that we've tried, you know, that they would come forth. But if it did, you would have all of the evidence there. And we never mentioned, like when you saw what I put in the paper there, we just...
Is there a state statute for time of the procedure to take place as far as entrance into an escrow fund or a possible delivery to the county treasurer? I mean, is there a statute that deals
there
with
is
this?
Not, this is not covered. I tried to see if any other collectors said, what do you do if you get, I mean, we've received maybe a $100 bill in there to pay, but we had a address and who to pay it with, and we would think, you know, why would you mail this, you know, through the mail like this? Mm-hmm. There's no direction. I've asked for, as you see, the time period, and I've, there's no direction. It's just an option of whether it, you know, goes into county GSR, and if it's there, and if anything ever did come forth, and you see the what you have to identify, then you could look at the evidence, and it would be here available. If it goes to the, this is just my opinion. If it goes to unclaimed on the state, I think it just have to sit there. Nobody would have a way to, claim it. They're not going to have on hands the evidence. They're not going to keep it. It's in the computer, and it's. And you gentlemen would have it at your, in a file, all of the information.
And you, I understand what all the process you've went through, but definitely next year or sometime when they pay their taxes again, and it's come from a specific area, surely won't happen like this again. I mean, they surely won't send funds that are...
Oh, you mean like cash and claim? Oh, I had a suspicion, but you know, we can all have that. I was concerned that it was by the writing that maybe it was a grandparent or, you know, someone, an older person that was trying to help. I mean,
pay somebody else's taxes.
So that's why we went through the tax sale. I waited till every, you know, and it's past the time that it would come forth, and nothing would match. I had Gary come in because he was so, you know, good at, and run some searches for me in different ways and give it through different towns trying to come up with, and we didn't. And Max Murphy was the insurance representative who's been, you know, anyone that we've mailed, and you'll use that post office. And I was told the reason I offered to ask the postmaster if I could bring it over and let him see if he would, and he said no, I'd be wasting my trip. So I copied, and it came out very good, and I went ahead and I asked for his fax and faxed it, and if he would look, and I immediately got it, and he said he didn't recognize it. But they had to go in there with those stamps, and you'll notice the hand stamps, you know, on there. And so I thought that...
They might have remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we put this off to a later date and have a discussion with the full commission and yourself on what we do with those funds?
Do you want me to not give the check to the treasurer right now and wait until that time, or do you want me to, when I give it to her, she's going to need to, I'm guessing, and I don't want to speak for her, but I think she'd need a line item, you know, to put it in.
Right, and we don't have such a
I will hold the check.
Line item, so why don't you hold that until we can, what do you think, Brandon? I think that'd be the best.
I think we need maybe even talk to council to find out where we can put it, because I don't know, I'm sure this has never happened before.
I haven't found it.
So,
I mean, like I said, we received cash in the mail, which I always think's foolish, but there was always a name on it or, yeah. You know, some way to...
Yeah, but as far as I don't want to take funds and put it somewhere, we can't. So I'd rather... I mean, I'd also like to bring it to our council. And
yeah, I've spoken to my, tax sale attorney and stuff, but yes, speak to...
Like I said, let's post this for a later date, maybe next week or something, where we can have a discussion on where it's at, and we'll meet with our attorneys. I don't know when they're coming in, but whatever date they're coming in, we'll visit with them.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I just have one last item. I'm sorry here. It is my understanding that your holding check that was issued on January 28, 2013, on the Collector's Tax Maintenance Fund. I received a delinquent notice from the law firm that this was due, that was due payment. I'm here to request that you release the check and make payment so that I'm no longer delinquent on that, or else please provide me in writing a legal reason why this check is being held. None of you three had mentioned anything to me about holding and or as to why, and it's on the tax maintenance fund. And I'm sure, as you know, it's in payment to, for the attorney fees. And I submitted a purchase order today for, because I got billed for the next, it's December, January, and February. That bill was for November's work that I submitted then.
We'll take that up whenever we have this other discussion. We'll probably schedule some time to visit with you then next week on this very issue and this other monies at the same time.
Okay. I contacted the law firm and told them what had happened, and they shared some things with me, but I said, let me go forth and see why it's being held. And,
okay. We'll
thank you so much for your time. If there's any questions on any of this when you look it over, I just live in that little office down there.
Okay.
Oh, and on the 2009, I brought all the, if ever you have any questions on that, all the different work on the businesses that we tried to contact on the collection of that and what we've individual and how we.
I've got a question for you that pertains to personal property. When someone applies for a merchant's license, can they receive a merchant's license, a yearly merchant's license, if they haven't paid their taxes?
A yearly merchant's license, they haven't paid their taxes. There's no statute preventing that. The merchant's license statutes are very short and so forth. There is no statute preventing it. But we're not going to be able to this year. I simply don't have the staff and the time to go out and check merchant's license. We have to do it simple mail. I asked that they pay their personal property. Due to the business personal property being uncollected, I asked that they pay it before issuing the merchant's license. Sometimes, when we go through, if they have a merchant's license and we see that the name's not the same or something and it's not been, we send them a notice telling them that unless there's an agreement somehow between a city or something, otherwise that personal property, my office policy is that we make every means to collect.
So there's no state statute that says that if they haven't paid their taxes, their personal property taxes, that you can refuse to give them a merchant's license?
There's not a state statute, but I was told that I could have an office policy, and because the businesses are more difficult to collect as they come and go. Now, not your businesses that are here and here to stay, but the ones that move in, don't make it, move out. Bins the taxis are personal, and they stay with that. It's when we issue that license, and I've got one merchant that refuses to get a merchant's license. He's paid his taxes, but he refuses to. And although the merchant's license is just $25 a year, and the girls have given him notices and everything, and the statute says if they refuse to get a merchant's license, you can turn them over to the prosecutor's office, and we share that with the statute with them. But no, there's not a statute that connects payment of taxes to the merchant's license. But it is my office policy to... and something that we spend a lot of time, and due to the staff, as last year, during the bulk of the season, you issue the license. It comes in, they send it with their payment, and they issue the license. And when we go out, like we used to go in March, and like I said, I can't do it this year, and September would be my other time. I don't know if we'll be able to or not. Then we look, and we ran a list of those that are delinquent on business and we delinquent merchant's license. When we go out, we present them both to them, and we require them to pay the taxes to get that merchant's license. And when we discover that this last year, we tried to, in December, when all the payments were coming, we tried to, if they hadn't paid that license, we held that $25 check out and contacted them and said, this license isn't paid. And it created, and I met with the staff, and we're going to have to do a different way of that, because by holding that out, then we had companies, because many of these are paid at a headquarters away from here, states away, and they stopped payment on their check. And then another department of it sent the tax payment, and then you've got this, and then we had to run the license because they'd paid, but they stopped payment on the check. So I said we're going to have to relook at that next year in the way of doing it. We may have to go back to go ahead and issuing it initially, and then when you've got time, go back and check, and if they've not paid it, then notify them. But no, there's not a statute that says that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay.
We'll move back up to the transfer station. I see these boys are here. You guys want to come on up and visit with us? I had visited with Scott this morning, and we thought we might reschedule this presentation because of some figures that he needed to come up with. That would work out better for you as our discussion was this morning. Brandon, did you have anything that you needed to input on that?
What part of it? I mean, it just says transfer station. What aspect of it? We've talked about three or four different things. That's why I was...
Right. He's got a packet of information there, but he doesn't have some figures.
Okay. This is the DNR stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that all right with you? Can you make that? Why don't we just reschedule, and Shannon can reschedule that for next Monday sometime through the day. Have you come back in?
Sure.
And maybe by that time you'll have some of those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Scott. I got an email. I think it was from you. Pictures of the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Those were pictures of repairs that had been done.
Yes. Okay. That was on that Matthew Knight inspection.
Okay.
And I sent those to him. He said good deal. He put them in the file.
Okay.
So he and I have talked several times since you gave me his number.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. The next thing on the agenda is an executive session, Brandon.
Is that for?
If you want to make a motion, I think that...
Is it for contracts?
The 12, yes.
Move to go into executive session pursuant to RSMO section 610.021.12.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session 610.021.12. All in favor...
Brandon, aye.
Danny, aye. Motion passes. We are in executive session.